Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to the next installment of The Lorraine Murphy Show. As you might know by now, this season is all about GSD, aka getting shit done. And the reason for this season is I know from chatting to my community that the overwhelm is real right now. So helping you to get organized is my big focus for the next couple of months, including this season of the show and also my GSD challenge, which is just wrapping up today as you're listening to this episode. And there was over 1,000 people registered to do it. And I've had so much fun going through the challenge with everyone. So I'm super excited to bring you this episode as it's the first time I'm doing an episode like this. It's the first of 3 one-on-one mentoring sessions I've recorded with members of my LM Love Club. In each of these episodes, you get to listen in as I work through an organizational block my mentee has and also pick up some nuggets that you can apply in your own life too. So before I kick into this week's episode, I've been hearing the biggest challenges that you listeners face when it comes to getting organized. And it is so bloody clear that time, T-I-M-E, is the biggest block when it comes to getting shit done. I think we can all agree that many people struggle just in normal times to stay on top of the daily adulting required to live their lives. And then we fling in there a global pandemic and yep, time is not exactly in abundance for many of us right now. So the next step in my organizational crusade over the next couple of months is to host a free masterclass. I'm calling it Bonus Time. 5 habits to get you back at least 5 hours a week. And in it, I'll be sharing the 5 strategies that I use myself and have taught to thousands of people to help them unlock more time in their weeks. I'll be sharing the number one tip I give to overwhelmed people, why boundaries equal more time and easy ways to create more boundaries in your life, how decisions are the enemy of productivity, what a positive feedback loop is and how to build one of your own. But most importantly, as it says on the tin, how to get back 5 hours a week. I'm also really excited because I'm creating a special bonus time playbook for this particular masterclass. So everyone who registers will get the playbook as well. There are 2 session options. So just like I did with my last free masterclass, I'm going to do a day option and a night option because that seemed to be very, very popular with you guys. But they're both happening on Tuesday, the 25th of August. The daytime session is from 1 to 2 p.m. and the nighttime session is from 8 to 9 p.m. And zero drama if you can't make the live sessions because everyone who registers will get the recording and also the bonus time playbook. And you can register at lorrainemurphy.com.au/masterclass. And as usual, I'll pop the link in the show notes as well. And yeah, I'm really excited for that session. Can't wait. So moving on to this week's episode, this week's mentoring session is with Melbourne-based career coach Sarah Felice. Sarah is the founder and principal consultant of Sarah Felice Career Coaching. She is an accomplished career coach with over 12 years of experience in career coaching and outplacement. Her core belief is that she sees the best in people and helps them to see the best in themselves, which I love. She has specialist expertise in coaching women as they progress through their career and navigate the balance of family life, having managed this journey herself and successfully coached hundreds of women as they manage their career decisions and navigate their way to a seat at the executive table and C-suite if that is their goal. So Sarah's organizational block for the purposes of our session is finding a balance between work and home life while in the midst of Melbourne's lockdown at the moment. She's struggling not being able to switch off from work, feeling overwhelmed when she looks at her calendar, and also dealing with the house being less than perfect while she's working at home with her husband and 2 teenage daughters in the house as well. In our session, myself and Sarah talk about why individual battery time is so important to recharge ourselves, how she can find more time for her creative projects, dealing with different standards from our loved ones when it comes to tidiness at home. God knows I know this one well. How effective energy management is the key to sustaining our energy throughout the week. And also coping strategies for introverts who need to spend a lot of time on Zoom and who also have their families at home full time right now. I absolutely loved this session with Sarah, and it just makes my heart and soul and everything happy when we work through a block and at the end of it, the mentee has a really clear action plan and they're just feeling lighter and clearer as a result of the chat or the work that we've done together. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my chat with Sarah Felice. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah Felice. Thank you so much for joining me, my dear.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you. Well, I'm just wondering, I'm recording in Lexi's bedroom, which is where I record all my podcast episodes because it's the most soundproof room in the house. And it's torrential rain here in Sydney. So I don't know if you or anyone listening will be able to hear the rain. It's very cozy. It's nice. And so where are you coming from today, Sarah?
I'm in Melbourne, in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
And you're in full stage 4 lockdown as we're recording this, you poor things.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in Melbourne's particularly enjoying it, I have to say.
Yeah, we obviously had a chat before we got on today, and I love your attitude to it. Just that, as you said, you just got to get through it. And you mentioned you've lived through three, what do you call them? Economic downturns was your language a second ago?
Yes, I have in my working life.
Yeah, you can teach all the newbies something about this.
Maybe. Yeah. I think this is a very unique situation we're in. So I think we're making it up as we go along a little bit.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I mean, and just to explain to everyone, you're obviously in my LM Love Club, and I've seen the cheerleading you're giving to other people in the group, in our Facebook group as well. So it's really special. So Sarah, by way of introduction, can you, in your own words, just share with everyone listening about you, your business, your family, where you're at, please, just so we can kind of set the scene for everyone.
Sure. From a family perspective, I have two teenage daughters. So my oldest is in year 12, unfortunately. So this has been a huge challenge for her. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of her, but I really wish she wasn't in year 12 this year.
Yeah.
My younger daughter's in year 10, and it's also been pretty challenging for her in different ways. My husband has his own business, which is telecommunications infrastructure, among other things, and it's also, well, it's an essential service. It's this part of the lockdown also has been very difficult in his business. So that's my family. And you want me to talk about my business now?
Yeah, if you can share a bit about it, because it's, I know you've got a couple of different elements to your business, so I'd love you to talk us through that as well.
So I'm a career coach by profession. So I always say I've been job market facing all my life. So I started in recruitment in the 90s and then 7 years in graduate recruitment, then in talent management. And I've been working in outplacement and career coaching for 12 years. So this is the second difficult economic cycle that I've experienced in outplacement.
Mm-hmm.
So outplacement and career transition is supporting people whose jobs have been made redundant, helping them to do a better job search than they might do on their own. And I do that. Our industry is, we're called associates. It's sort of like subcontracting. So I do that with a number of organisations, primarily in Melbourne, but I also do work with a Perth and Brisbane-based company as well. And thanks to Zoom, I'm actually working very nationally these days. And then I have my own business in career coaching, which is more working with people who've made a decision to change their job themselves, and then they hire me directly to do that. Interestingly, having that business, of course, went very quiet at the start of the year, but I'm actually having more interest from people at the moment, and I think it's because they're at home on Zoom. Anything that was fun about their job, like, you know, their colleagues and being at the office and so forth, has gone, and if it's just the job and they're not liking the job, it's really, really obvious. So I've actually had some uptake in that work just recently.
That's such an interesting insight, Sarah. I didn't think of that. Of course, if you strip out all the great stuff like your work best friend or, you know, your work husband or your work wife and the fun office culture and all that kind of thing, yeah, you are just left with the nuts and bolts of the job. And maybe quite a few people, maybe even people listening, have been I don't want to say cruising, but they're just being, you know, getting on with their work because they are quite happy with the people they work with. So that's really interesting. Yeah.
It is. What I was going to say is what I say about myself, two things. I see the best in people and I help them to see the best in themselves, and that's regardless of how I'm working with them. And I'm very lucky. I absolutely love what I do. Sorry, I didn't mean to choke up then. I absolutely love what I do. I always say coaching isn't what I do, it's what I am. And I'm very fortunate. I'm really flat out, like flat out this year, but I love it. And, you know, I'm super passionate about it because I think everyone should love what they do, actually.
I love that. And how lovely that you walk your own talk with your clients as well. That's brilliant. Sounds like, yeah, the work that you're doing is very, very critical for where we're at right now. So as you know, this season is all about GST, getting shit done season. And I know you put your hand up within the LM Love Club, just to explain that LM Love Club is my membership group for anyone who's not aware of that. And you put your hand up and said, yeah, I would love to come on as a case study or maybe a guinea pig, whatever you want to call it, on the podcast and workshop a particular challenge that you have. So can you share with me what that challenge is?
Absolutely. So I just mentioned that I'm flat out, mm-hmm. And that is true. And, you know, without wanting to be sound insensitive, the outplacement industry is very, very, very busy this year because there are a lot of companies looking at their needs in terms of their people. And some of that is not because of coronavirus. Some of it's, you know, organisations that would naturally have restructured or changed their businesses, and some of it is the impact of coronavirus. But in a downward economic cycle, it is normal for our industry to be busy. And so the consequence of that, there's two consequences for me. One is that there's just a lot more work, but the other is that, you know, my husband's business is in the opposite cycle to mine, which is that they are under different pressures and therefore I'm taking as much work as I can. So the benefit of being at home with Zoom is that I can take on more work. I'm not commuting to the city at the moment, all that sort of stuff, but it's long days and there's a lot of supporting admin that goes with that. I'm trying to grow my own business as well. You know, I'm actually quite creative and, you know, there's lots of new projects and things. But trying to find a balance, I'm working very, very hard on that. I've listened to lots of your suggestions on anchoring and that sort of thing. I'm not working weekends, but my days sometimes end up being, you know, 12-hour days. I take a break for dinner and that sort of thing and then I come back to my office. And so it's trying to balance those incredibly long days. I know I'm not alone in this. And also when I am with my family, it's trying to close off work and be actually present with my family and not mentally still in my office.
And yeah, it's like your body's in one place and your mind's elsewhere.
It is. And I didn't realise actually that, you know, I used to catch the train into the city and, you know, go to my office in the city. And so forth, and I didn't realise how very important that process was. And you talked about that earlier in the year, the anchoring, you know, which now just seems so obvious. You know, you take the kids to school, you get to the train station, you go to the cafe, you have your coffee, and in your mind it's like, okay, I'm on my way to work now. Mm. You know, and you have that time on the train, and then you walk to the office, now I'm at work, and you do everything there, and then you also have to leave because you have to get on the train to come home, and then that's the segue. Well, that's all gone because my office is at home. I've got a great office. I'm very lucky. But, you know, okay, I walk out, I close the doors, I'm doing all the things like trying to go for a walk during the day, trying to change clothes when I'm finished and so forth, but it's not quite as simple as that, I'm finding.
Okay, got it. I want to come back to that topic of anchoring as part of our conversation, but also just for the benefit of anyone who's not aware of that, because it is a very powerful tool. So Sarah, you've obviously been on the other end of mentoring with me before. So the question I'm going to ask is, what does success look like or feel like from this chat? So we get off this session over the next little while and you say, yeah, that was exactly what I needed or wanted to get from that. What does that look like or feel like?
Well, I'm very fortunate that I've had a mentoring session from you before. And what it is for me is some usable tools where I can walk away from this and say, there's not that I'm going to have the golden answer to everything in my life, that's not realistic, but to say these are a couple of things I could do to manage those long days better so that I feel that I'm doing a better job of keeping them reasonable and being present with my family.
Nice. So summarise that for me again.
A couple of tools.
Tools, yeah.
So that I can, they're things that I can start implementing so that I feel that I'm doing a better job of essentially balancing work and family on those days where I am working. Because something I didn't explain, which I should, is that maybe it's obvious, maybe it isn't. My work is meeting-based. I manage my own schedule, but on the meeting days I have 5 or 6 Zoom meetings in a row and a little bit of time. I always take a break for lunch, but a little bit of time to do administration and so forth, but it's the admin at the end of the day also that's the killer.
Got it. You got to write up everything and everything. Yeah, makes sense. Yep. Okay, cool. So I just want to touch on one of those tools that you did, because I know for me, if I'm listening to a podcast episode and someone's mentioned something, I'm like, okay, just tell me what that is, and I can't quite relax until I've actually understood what they mean. So you touched on the idea of anchoring, which is something I probably talked about in, I'll link to the show notes and what that podcast episode was, but I was talking about the concept of anchoring, which is actually an idea that comes from neuro-linguistic programming, so NLP. And the whole idea of it is that we get anchored to places, people, things, experiences. And what happens when we are anchored, and you explained it so beautifully, Sarah, that you go, I think something I talked about before, and you shared it as well, was that whole idea of there's a certain coffee shop that most Australians seem to get coffee on their way to work, or at least during the morning. And there's a certain coffee shop that you get coffee from. You talk to the barista, you're used to that experience, and then you walk back to the office and you're used to kind of kicking into get shit done mode. So for most of us listening to this, either whether it was in, you know, ISO first time or what Melbourne's experiencing right now, is that we're probably getting coffee closer to home, or we're making coffee ourselves, and we're not getting that anchoring experience whereby, okay, I've been to my work coffee shop and I'm in work mode. And it can apply to everything. And I know something I talk about a lot is QT hotels. Like, I love the QT hotel on the Gold Coast. It's probably my favorite hotel that I've stayed in. And every time I go there, even if I'm in a cranky mood arriving, when I arrive there, I just feel so lit up and excited. And it's because I've had so many positive experiences at that hotel before, with my bestie, Roshanda, with Wade, with the influences I used to represent in my first business. I'm very positively anchored to the QT hotel. So I know you've already touched on anchoring. We may come back to that again in this chat, Sarah, but I did just want to clarify that for anyone listening. Because, yeah, as I said, I find it really annoying when I'm like listening, I go, oh no, tell me more about that thing. So that's the idea of anchoring. And I'll link in the show notes to some other resources as well where I talk about that. I think I talked about the 10 commandments to getting shit done remotely, I think it was. So I'll link to that as well. Okay. So Sarah, I've got a question for you. Probably have a few questions for you here. So how do you know that you are out of balance right now? Like, what clues are you getting, or what facts would you rely on to go, yeah, I am out of balance?
That's a good question, because in fact, I'm not this week. This is probably a good week for us to have this conversation, because I'm in a lull. Mm-hmm. And I took another cue from you, and I blocked out yesterday afternoon. I gave myself the afternoon off, and it's good timing. And this does happen in our work. We have peaks and troughs in terms of where people are at and so forth. But I've been contacted by all of the companies I work with to ask me about my availability. So I know that there is a peak that's going to come in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But the out of balance feeling for me is when I can't shut off my mind. That's a big one.
Okay. Yes, we're getting there. Yes, got it.
I'm not a very big drinker, and I don't want this to sound bad, but when I have that feeling of either I wake up in the morning and I have to have coffee, and it's like I wake up, my eyes open, and I'm not a morning person. I'm the complete opposite to you. The time you get up, I just go, oh, my God, never in my life.
You're probably going to bed when I get up.
My mother's a morning person. She thinks everyone in the world's a morning person. I'm not. I was born a night owl. Yeah. I have been for as long as I can remember. And not
I remember you saying that in our mentoring session after you were saying, because we were talking about a creative project that you're working on, and you were
I know,
just saying
and I told you what
you
time
do it at night.
What?
Yeah. Yes,
of course, on Create Academy, needless to say, my chronotype's an owl, which
I... Yes, that was Christy's. Yeah, yeah. That was Christy Godwin was talking about the different chronotypes, and it was about optimizing your creative work with your chronotype. And I'm 100% a lark, and yeah, you're 100% an owl, which means, yeah, I work best in the morning, you're best quite late at night, actually. Yes. Okay, yeah. So back to your kind of, I don't want to call them symptoms, but I just want to create a bit of an evidence file as to, you're saying that you feel out of balance. I want to understand what that is, because that will guide
us. I wake up in the morning and open my eyes and I open my eyes and think I need coffee, or at the end of the day I think, oh God, I need a glass of wine. And those are the things where I'm like, I know I'm out of balance, because that's all about, I have to wake up my mind, or I have to calm my mind because it's not happening on its own.
Yeah.
If I start, the other thing is, I know that I'm not out of balance when I start feeling edgy about how many meetings I've got, and I look in my calendar and I feel like, oh God, you know, it's Wednesday and I'm already feeling a bit aggravated, because I'm also an introvert, and for me it's a very fine balance between, I want to serve, I'm a giver, I'm very passionate about what I do. We all are. I know that everybody in my industry is giving way above and beyond at the moment. That's certainly been recognised by all the people that I work with. And it's the right thing to do. But the other side of that is that we're all giving a great deal of ourselves. And when you get that feeling, like you look in your calendar and you think, oh, my God, it's only Wednesday morning and I've got another 12 or 13 meetings to go this week, and you don't feel good about it. And for me, that feeling is
resentful. That's how I feel. I feel resentful when I have that feeling.
And mostly once you get into it and you start coaching people, it's fine, it's great, and you really get in the groove. But I don't like to wake up in the morning and not feel excited about what I'm going to do today. And if I don't, it's usually, you know, it's that. And the other thing for me is when I look around, look at the house and, you know, the laundry's untucked. My husband is amazing. He is an amazing co-parent. That's an understatement. He runs all the meals. He does a lot of the laundry. He's absolutely brilliant. If it was up to me, I'll tell you, it'd be total chaos in this house. But when the house starts being really chaotic and really, like, it's Thursday and the house looks really bad, that's when I know it's been a really bad week. And I hate that.
So tell me, how does the house look bad? And you probably know what I'm doing here, and you probably do it with the people you coach as well. I just want to get really specific. So tell me, what are three signs that the house looks really bad by Thursday?
Well, the three signs are things that nobody else would see, but there's a lot of stuff dumped on the kitchen counter, which is my pet hate.
Mine's the kitchen table, yeah.
The floor hasn't been swept. We've got three dogs, so, and they all have different coloured fur. So if the floor doesn't get swept regularly, then you can see, you start seeing the, you know, the multicoloured fur. and the laundry is piling up in the laundry room and it's like, and nothing's happened with it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's getting worse and worse. And those are, that's the stuff that bothers me. I don't think it bothers anybody else. In fact, I suspect nobody else even sees the first two things, but it really bothers me.
Yeah. I swear Wade has selective blindness and he doesn't even mean it. He will step over. So I'll give you a perfect example. He's downstairs. So he'll probably hear me bitching about him now. He does army reserves on a Tuesday night. So he comes in at 11 o'clock. He takes off his army stuff and he gets into bed. The army stuff is still on the fucking floor and it's Friday morning. And I swear, if I asked him, is there anything on the bedroom floor, he wouldn't even know. He doesn't even see it. So I empathize with you on that, because sometimes I wish I could be as blind as he can be to stuff as well.
Me too. It'd be so much easier.
So relaxing.
Oh, it'd be so much better. But anyway, it's and look, you know, we've been married for 24 years and there's things that I'm just not going to fight about, and that's one of them. I'm just, because he's so great. My husband is seriously the most fantastic man. He's doing all the meals at the moment. He's just, because he's bored, and he's Italian. He's a fabulous cook.
Oh, my God. I'm getting more and more jealous by the second.
I'm a terrible cook, so, you know, I'm average. The kids always tell me I'm good. They're very kind, but I really don't like it. And he loves it, so he does all that, and he's fabulous with the laundry. So I'm very lucky.
What's his best meal? What's your favorite dinner?
He doesn't see the front.
Yeah, they don't.
There's just so many. I actually, he cooks a very mean steak. That's probably one of the best things. But he can do way more than that. He'll spend 4 hours making risotto on the weekend.
Oh dear Lord!
So yeah, he's really good.
I swear, in a past life, I was married to an Italian, or was an Italian. Food is so good.
Yes, okay, I actually love food.
Yeah. So Sarah, this has given me so many clues. Thank you for being so specific about things. So the biggest thing that's coming to mind for me with this challenge, and I love that you're sharing this so openly, because I know that hundreds of people are going to be listening to this, nodding along, whether they're out on their walk or they're sitting at their desk or cooking dinner for the family while they're listening to this. So thank you so much for sharing this one. So the biggest thing that's coming to mind as you're talking for me is it's energy management. I feel like that's the big block right now. And you just, I was thinking it at the very start of the conversation, and you just confirmed it when you said that you had the afternoon off yesterday and you feel like you're in a much better place. It's like you gave yourself that opportunity to charge up again, and then you can go forth and serve again. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I think for you and I to chat about how can we help you manage your energy a bit better, you know, slightly better or a lot better, you know, depending on how much you implement and what's working and what's not. I think that would be a really good place to start, because it's funny enough, as we're recording this on Friday, and today my episode on getting motivated went out today as part of the season. And I talked in it about the fact that, you know, a lot of people think that they're just really unmotivated and they're actually just quite tired. You know, they just don't have anything in the tank to go and get the motivation going. So I think for you and I to talk about some strategies around how you can manage your energy better, I think would be a really, really good place to start. Does that sound good to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So the biggest thing that I would say to you, if I, as a fellow introvert, so tell me, how many hours are you spending on meetings a week?
The average week would be about 16 or 17.
Okay, and how many hours are you working a week total?
Oh, that's a 50? Really good question.
I guess you're doing about 50, but you tell me.
Probably, yeah. I don't really add it up, but I have this sort of life and job where if I don't spend a couple of hours at my desk every day, it just gets wildly out of control. So I can't turn my back on it. So Mondays, theoretically, I don't work on Mondays. I work 4 days a week, but Monday, when I say I don't work, really what that means is I don't have meetings.
All
because
right, so
I still have
working.
To come to my desk and do some work, because otherwise it just gets out of control.
Yeah, well, think about it, 50-hour weeks, that's 4 12-hour days. So if you're doing that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's you're pretty much at 50 anyway without your Monday even included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what that means then is you're actually spending, just say you're doing 17 hours of meetings a week. And sorry, Sarah, just to be clear, that's coaching, yeah? 17 hours of coaching.
Yeah.
And then plus there's probably, I mean, you mentioned that you had a chat with an MD today. If you were to add on top of that phone calls, check-ins, as in the stuff that's not the almost like the hardcore coaching, but it's getting to the point where you are coaching. How many hours would you be spending?
Sorry?
How many hours a week would you be spending on phone calls as well? So like that meeting you talked about with the MD this morning.
Not that many, actually. We it's interesting, in our team, we call each other from time to time, but we tend to email each other. And I think it's probably, knowing the makeup of my industry, most people are introverts.
Mm.
And that's probably why, because we will call each other if we need to, but we tend not to call each other too much. We have a monthly catch up, but so I probably would only spend another maybe 3 hours, 2 hours,
yeah,
3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So say if you had 3 hours and you're doing 50, that means you're spending 40% of your week in like quite intense personal contact.
Yep.
So when I say intense, you know, and I know exactly, I've never been a client of yours, but I know exactly how to work. I think you'd work like me. Like you're all in. You're there mind, body, soul. You're all in with that person.
Yep.
So that to me says that we need to find some kind of, and I don't like the word balance, because I think it's so difficult to balance, but I think your blend right now is very heavily weighted towards extroversion, you know, and that being with the person all for that amount of time. So 40% of your week is with other people, and that's really draining for introverts.
Yeah.
So my first thing around energy management is a couple of things. Is first of all, I'm going to step back for a second. I want to come back to you about energy management, but I also want to understand your day. So from what time do you wake up? Walk me through your day.
Okay. And I've just got a sidebar is, when you put it to me like that with 50 hours, what is hilarious is I still think of myself as working part-time. And when you put it like that, I think.
You're working more than people are working full time.
Anyway, so my day, because I'm not a morning person, one good thing about coronavirus for me is I can actually run my day a bit more how I like it.
Mm.
So I go to bed later and get up later, which is actually better for me. So I am a bit more rested than I was in the past.
Good.
So
you look rested. Like we chatted on video before we started this and you look rested. Like you don't look stressed or drawn or tired.
You know,
you got skincare.
Hair and makeup. It's my best friend. So I get up maybe between 7:30 and 8 because that works for me, and I just get up to help the kids get onto online school. One of my children needs a lot of help in the morning at the moment. So I get up. My older daughter doesn't need that at all, but my younger daughter does. And then I get myself going. I don't start my first meeting till 10 a.m. I never have. It used to be because I had to take the kids to school and get myself on the train, get myself into the office, blah, blah, blah. But I still don't start my first meeting until 10 because it means that I'm not rushed.
Got it.
Because I hate being rushed in the morning. That gives me time to get myself organised, go get a coffee. I do go to the takeaway shop and get a coffee every morning still because that's probably anchoring for me because I enjoy it. And it's getting out of the house.
Yeah.
And I start my first meeting at 10 a.m. So is that specific enough for you?
Yeah, that's cool. So then what happens then? So you got your first meeting at 10. Does that mean you've got another one at 11? Like how does the flow of the Zoom run?
So I do two in the morning. I take my lunch break at 12 because that's the time that my children have their lunch break with school. So I take it to try and have some time with them to at least eyeball them a little bit during the day because we're all off in our various areas on online school and meetings all day.
Yeah.
And then so I give myself an hour and I'm militant about blocking out that hour. And my whole life I've always stepped away from wherever I work and had food and not talked to anybody. So I usually read or something like that, or now I interact with the children. And then I usually have three meetings in the afternoon. And so I try to finish between 4 and 5. I will occasionally take an extra meeting. I try not to because that meeting is never as good, because if it's the sixth meeting of the day, I'm usually not as great. And then the last hour and a half of the day is all the admin, because we always have, when you work, do the sort of work I do, you have to put notes into a system and then do follow-up emails to the candidates and then any other bits and pieces that need to be done.
Got it.
So in theory, I finish by 6, but a lot of the time I'm not getting out of my office until 6:37.
Okay. And what time is dinner at then?
Rob's been amazing. So quite often I walk out of the office and dinner's at 7:30.
Okay. So what are you doing between 6:30 and 7:30?
Well, quite often I'm still in my office.
What are you doing?
So I'm in here until 7. Oh, admin, finishing up.
Right. Okay,
sometimes I'm unproductive. And if I'm really honest, between 5 and 7, is it 2 hours of solid work? Definitely not. I think sometimes there's a bit of time wasting because I'm a bit shattered some days. It depends on what the day of coaching has been like as well.
Got it. Okay, cool. Dinner's at 7:30. What happens then? So the whole family is having dinner together?
Yes. And so then we have dinner together every night. That's non-negotiable. We always have dinner together. We always have. And the kids, they really like it.
Great.
And then we quite often watch something. We're very big movie watchers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll all watch something together. We've been watching a lot of series and movie series and so forth. So I will stop. I will only do work on my laptop during that time if it's absolutely critical. Otherwise, if there's still work to be done, like end of month, for example, I've got a lot of reporting I've got to do, I will come back to my office and do some more work if I have to. Sometimes I come back in to do more personal development if there's a webinar that I've wanted to watch or something I haven't got to, or if there's stuff that's crucial, like, you know, stuff you've got to do for the accountant, that sort of fun stuff, I'll come back and do that. I'm trying not to, because first time around I got into a really bad trap of saying I'll just go back to the office, or as it's commonly known in my family, the vortex.
I
come back in at 10 o'clock, I've pushed everyone else to bed. I've been doing this for years, push them all into bed, come back in here and then find myself in here at 12:30 still working. Because that's, of course, when I'm very, very awake.
So
I get a lot done and I get really awake. Sometimes it's good. I get some creative stuff done. But then, you know, my mind's racing at that point, and then I actually am a very good sleeper. I can get into bed and be asleep 1 minute later.
That's great. But so what time are you getting to bed at then? So generally movie time, and then bed is what time?
This will probably make you die, but I'm never in bed before 1 a.m. So, but that's me. I'm not going to bed before 1 a.m. Years and years and years. So I'm sure you'll freak out when I...
That's your thing. You're an owl.
Yep. I know you go to bed at 9 p.m. and I'm like, I think I last went to bed at 9 p.m. when I was 5 years old.
I'm actually pushing for 8:30 bedtime at the moment. Okay, so that, and then you sleep until, so you're up at like 7:30, you said, yeah?
Yeah. So, okay, cool. You know, that obviously doesn't work in normal life because I've got to get up and take the kids to school, but, you know, I'll worry about that next year.
Yeah, got it. So, Sarah, can I just float something with you? And it's something I've actually been observing in my own life. I used to find, so what I'm saying here to you is, when you say that you're on your 2 Zoom calls in the morning and then you have lunch with the kids and then you kick into your afternoon Zoom calls as well, am I right in saying that obviously when the kids are at school normally, the girls are at school, you would have time to yourself, yeah?
Yes.
So for me, that's a really big change that you're not getting that window of kind of, I'm calling it like Sarah battery time. That's what I've written down in my notes here as we're talking. Mm-hmm. That Sarah battery time isn't happening at lunchtime now because you're talking to the girls, which is, you know, that's what you want to do and that's great. Uh-huh. But I'm really finding this myself. I used to, like, until I'd say Lexi was 2, I would find it quite recharging being with her. It was just me and her on our own. I would find it quite recharging with her. But I'm finding now more and more, as she's getting so much more verbal and she, you know, she wants to hang out and she's like a proper person. No offense, Lexi. I'm actually finding that the weekends I need to create those little, have you read Quiet by Susan Cain, the book?
Yes. Yeah. A total game changer. When you talked about it the other week, I went, oh, that book changed my life.
Yeah. It's really incredible. And so just to explain to everyone listening, Susan Cain wrote a book about introversion. It's like, it's called Quiet, The Power of Being Quieter. I can't remember. It's about introversion anyway.
In a world that won't
stop. Yes, love it. In a world that won't stop talking. Love that. So what I'm actually finding is that the weekends I need to build in. So Susan Cain talks about in the book restorative niches, and it could just be 5 or 10 minutes where you just get to be on your own, because I'm finding there's just so much going on in the house. Lexi's constantly like chatting, busy. Like, this is like the refrain in my life is like, Mama, look at me. And she just like puts a hand on her head and I'd go, wow, or she'll like, Mama, look at me. And she's doing like this kind of balancing thing between the coffee table and the sofa. Like, so it's full on in a really great way. You know, she's amazing. But I've really found that I need those, even just 5 or 10 minutes in the morning and 5 or 10 minutes in the afternoon. If I can stretch that into a 20-minute meditation, then that's amazing. But just those little windows just to catch my breath, because she, you know, she talks all the time. And Wade wants to talk all the time. And I spend a lot of my work talking all the time. So I really need those restorative niches. So what I would suggest to you, and I've got 2 windows of your day that I think there's an opportunity for you to really carve out some Sarah battery time. And the first one is, and I also need to say, I think your cafe run in the morning is Sarah battery time, because you get out, you're by yourself, it's a nice thing for you, and then you come back in, you kick into work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think there's a window at lunchtime, even if it's just for 10 or 15 minutes, just for you to sit in quiet, remembering that you've come off to very intense, and I mean that because you're putting so much intensity into it in a good way, and you've come off that, then you kick into mom mode and you're chatting to girls, and I would imagine supporting them as well with what they've got going on with their homeschooling. And then you jump in and you do another 3, maybe even 4 Zoom calls in the afternoon, and then you come out and it's straight into dinner and the family conversation over dinner, and then a movie and chatting about the movie. So I guess what I'm saying is I see a lot of talking in your day, which is very, very tiring if you are an introvert. So something I would see as an opportunity for you is to create a 15-minute window in that lunchtime that is just for you. So maybe you go out, you do the lunch thing in 45 minutes, and then you get to sit, probably not in your office, but go sit in your garden or in your bedroom just for 15 minutes and just catch your breath by yourself and almost visualize yourself charging up in that time. And the other window, I mean, I'm seeing a really big window. If you get more, when you get more disciplined with yourself in the evening, is if you create a hard finish for yourself at 6 p.m. So assuming your last call is at 4, most of the time it's at 4, you're finished at 5. You give yourself an hour to get that admin done. And then from 6 to 7:30, there's 90 minutes there for full on Sarah battery time, from what I can see.
Yeah.
Particularly as dinner is getting served to you on the table, which is just like, you know, hallelujah, that's the best thing ever. So I would challenge you to think about whether it's, you know, we can chat through it ourselves here together, or we can talk, you can go away and think about it after this chat, is what could you do in that window of time there that's almost like a mini day off, afternoon off? You know, like, what did you do yesterday that was so recharging for you when you had your afternoon off?
Well, actually, interesting you should ask. I caught up on some things I'm very behind on. One of them may be a program of yours, not naming any names. and that's been, you know, to use an expression of yours, you know, a few stones in my shoe, which is things that I've been feeling like really like, oh, I've got to do that. Not in a bad way, but.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You know, but you're also, you're a finisher, yeah? I know that, yep, about you. Like, you want to, yep, finish stuff. That would drive you nuts if you hadn't finished a program.
100%, because I beat myself up about things that I haven't done. And what else did I do? I went out. I had to go out and do errands. So, you know, I had a fantasy of how the afternoon was going to be, and it didn't quite turn out that way. But I got out. I did some errands, which was just literally getting out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But then I spent some time, and I did actually go up to our bedroom to literally get away from everyone.
Mm.
So I watched a couple of things that I've been meaning to watch and just actually did some things for me.
Yeah. And, did you talk, you know, to anyone yesterday
that
afternoon?
That was giving myself permission.
Yeah.
Only when I was out doing errands, but not.
Yeah. No. So, and I think that's the interesting thing, isn't it, Sarah, for you and I, and all the, you know, many introverts listening probably as well, is that when we get out and do errands, you know, an example, it was Lexi Day on Wednesday, and I booked Cairo for myself at 2, and I was going to bring Lexi with me because she also goes to see this Cairo, and last time she just didn't really want to get up on the bed or do anything, so I wanted her to see me having a Cairo adjustment just so she'd feel a bit more comfortable with it. So I was going to bring her with me. And then when we got back, we went to 2 parks. We were out all morning and she was just really tired. She said, Mama, can I go have a snooze? So she wanted to go to bed. So I put her to bed at 1. Wade is working down in the office. And I said, look, I was going to bring her with me to Cairo, but she's fast asleep. Can you get her up at 1:30? Like, just give her an hour and a half sleep and I'll be back a few minutes afterwards. So I set off. I went to the post office. I posted a package to someone. I picked up some toilet paper. I went to Cairo and I came home and I felt so recharged after it. So it was, you know, inverted commas, a pretty boring hour out of the house, but I didn't talk to anyone other than the Cairo when I was with her. So that's the thing. I think it doesn't need to be anything elaborate. I think the biggest thing is to know almost our own unique user manual for ourselves. And for you, you know that a lot of that is just not talking and probably getting ahead on some personal passion projects that you have on the go and doing some personal development. So that's perfect. I don't think you need it to be sitting in a bubble bath with, you know, essential oils wafting around your head. If that recharged you and that worked for you, then that's perfect. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. And just also reflecting on leading up to this conversation, one of the things I thought about also is to use the words of Elizabeth Gilbert. I was raised with the Protestant work ethic.
Mm.
So my parents are Canadian and American. My father's from a Scots-Irish Presbyterian family. And it's that, you know, working all the time. I know Liz Gilbert in her book Eat, Pray, Love talks about never seeing her mother not doing anything.
Yeah, oh, God, I hear you on that, for sure.
I have a mother like that who's always, she is physically incapable of sitting still to the point that my father has, there's a point to this, my father has Parkinson's and is declining rapidly, and my mother really just doesn't know how to sit still with him and just be with him.
Mm.
And how that comes out in me is that the more stressed I am, the harder I work. So yeah. My response to stress is to work harder, 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 longer, longer hours. So that staying in the office for me is when the pressure's on, I'll just stay in here more because I feel like that's what I, in inverted commas, yeah, should be doing. Totally. So that yesterday afternoon for me was about, and I left some stuff. There was some admin that I should have done, and mm-hmm, I didn't. I just walked out because I thought I'd in my head I'd said, this is my time, and I gave myself permission to do it. So it's also that, you know, breaking that pattern of stress, just working for, and sometimes not even working productively either.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it, Sarah? Yeah, and I think, I mean, I feel like I've used this quote so much lately in my mentoring that the Maya Angelou quote is, that when you know better, you do better. So I think you've got that. I mean, it's such a gift that you have that self-awareness, that you know that that's a pattern that you do wrong. Like, I think that's brilliant. Oh. And I think it's to extend that pattern on now, and something, oh, who was it? One of my friends said this about Instagram. Like, you know, when you get into the mindless scroll on Instagram and you're going in, and it's first of all becoming aware of it and also saying, like, is this productive right now? So I think for you, almost if you magic up like a post-it note and putting it on your computer, and you start to look at it at 5 o'clock, like, is this productive? Because I think you've got a window. You get out of your office at 6 o'clock. You've got an hour and a half to do whatever the hell you want, like you did yesterday afternoon. And I think that then also creates a level of separation, because this is, and I know Wade has felt this a lot over the last few months of working at home, and we have felt it as his family, that he's been going through like quite a stressful time with his business, because their business model is they send university students overseas to developing countries to work on projects for local communities. So their business has been, you know, incredibly impacted from what's happened. So he'll be in the midst of a stressful call. He'll get off that call, and then he's out, and myself and Lexi are sitting in the kitchen, and he finds it really hard to switch gears, as you can imagine, because he doesn't get to go on his very, very, very too fast motorbike all the way home. And then that's how he kind of processes. So I think that hour and a half, if you almost consider that time, and I'm talking about that 6 to 7:30 in the evening, it's their battery time, but it's also a transition time into family time. So there's a really nice idea of the third space, where, and for a lot of people, their commute is their third space. So you've got work as your, home is your first space, work is your second space, and then you've got a third space, which is generally your commuting back and forth. So if you remove that third space altogether, it means you've pretty much got the first space and the second space just jammed up next to each other. And also, it's almost like an identity crisis, because we don't know if we're in work mode or home mode or where we're meant to be. So I think anywhere that we can create those transition phases during our day are really, really helpful. So for you, it might be going for a walk around the block from 6 to 6:30, for example, and then doing some personal development. I think the key is that it's something that you're going to look forward to. You know, that you want to finish at 6 because you want to do that thing, whatever it is. I think about it almost like a magnetic pull. Like, there's something that's going to happen at 6 that's going to pull you towards that. And I'll give you an example of this, because I like to think that I walk my own talk. For me, my transition time in the evenings, particularly, because same as you, I get so excited about my work and have all of the ideas. And also I can get into my masculine energy, you know, the go, go, do, 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 which is what you're talking about when you overwork. It's that masculine energy. And for me, I've gotten into a routine of downing tools at 4:30. If I'm picking Lexi up from daycare, downing tools at 4:30 and doing a 20-minute meditation. And if Wade's going to pick her up, then like yesterday, he picked her up from daycare and I worked till 5. And then when he left, I went and meditated for 20 minutes and I was finishing just as they came home. And then I feel like I'm ready to step back into mama partner mode again. And it creates just that level of separation between the work Lorraine and home Lorraine. Is this making sense?
Oh, absolutely. And the walk, for example, I mean, this is the doer, but I wear a Fitbit. And I found I wasn't even getting to my minimum number of steps for a while there, because, you know, where am I going to go? Like, you're at home on Zoom all day. Some days I wasn't even leaving the house. So that was to me, that was like, okay, Sarah, this is bad. You're not even getting a breath of air in the day. Mm. So I now have a mandate to myself, self-bribery, that I have to get my steps. So I make myself go for walks. That's because that's the challenge for me. I like to have some sort of challenge to achieve, and you know, I feel so much better when I get out, and that breaks that cycle of working, or what I call, when you're not working productively, moving paper around your desk.
Oh, 100%, or moving emails around your inbox. Like, my God, I know exactly the feeling you're talking about. So I think that idea of Sarah, I'm calling it Sarah battery time, but trying to create more niches like that. What I would do, Sarah, if I was you, is try that 90-minute battery time in the evening, and then see how you go then. Because another thought I did have is, are you actually trying to pack too many meetings into one day? But I would, before making any decisions on that, if I were you, I'd try the battery time, because you might find, what I would imagine you will find, that you will unleash a lot more energy, that you won't wake up looking for the coffee or, you know, grasping for the wine, because you'll find more, I don't want to say healthy, because I don't want to say, you know, alcohol's unhealthy, but it's, yeah, probably maybe more constructive ways of winding down.
Absolutely. Well, aside from anything else, if you keep reaching for the wine every night, then your jeans stop fitting.
Yeah, so, there is also that.
It's not motivating at all. So.
No. And the other thing I will say as well, Sarah, just on that masculine energy thing as well, is I don't actually drink coffee because I go off my tits on coffee, basically. If I have coffee, it's like they pretty much just wave the coffee beans at my cappuccino. So I'll drink decaf or I'll drink green tea. But what I do find is that when I'm in that hyper masculine, like go, 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 push, push, you know, that feeling of like, I know I'm at my desk and I'm not being productive, but I just can't seem to drop out of this space. And that's actually when I'm craving the coffee, and that's when I start to go and grab the 80% or the 70% dark chocolate. Like I'm looking for stimulants. It's almost like I get addicted to that feeling and I want to stay there. So that's one thing I would say too as well, that actually makes total sense to me that you're waking up wanting the coffee because you've been so hyped up the day before that your body almost says, okay, this is how I should be. I need coffee to stay there. And then I need coffee. Mm-hmm. I need wine to get out of there. So I think the walk, particularly if that's a goal that you've already got in mind, I think that would be really great. And how achievable would that be for you to create that 90 minutes of Sarah Batchy time in the evening?
I think it's a really achievable goal because I've got some very important creative goals that I want to achieve. I've got some really important things that I want to do for my business, and you know, a lot of the admin that's just doing, and it's important, but it's not really taking me anywhere, if you know what I mean. So finding that time is also super important, not just for me, but also for not that it's all about achieving, but for things that I want to do that I don't want to be still saying I want to do them in 6 months' time and say, well, when, Sarah, when are you going to do these things if you don't invest in yourself?
Yeah, love. So what I would suggest to you, and obviously you'll find your own way of doing it, but maybe 6 o'clock it's out the door for a walk and then you get back fresh, energized. You probably have lots of great ideas on your walk, and then you've got a good hour then to work on those personal creative projects then.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do it the other way around. Yeah. I wouldn't jump straight into the creative stuff because I think you want to create that separation again between that and almost like to shake off. Because also, Sarah, and I don't think you and I have talked about this, but when we are mentoring and coaching, and particularly the economic climate that we're in right now, like the clients that you're working with, I can imagine that some of them are quite challenging conversations. They may be feeling quite stressed, quite anxious, and we take on that energy as the mentor or the coach. So I learned this from a healer in Bali. It's very important. I'll often find if I've had an intense day of mentoring, is I'll go have a shower just to kind of cleanse. And I'm not saying that people are like dirty or contaminated or anything, but it's just to cleanse my energy after that, because particularly if you're seeing multiple people a day, like you're actually, it's almost like you've got a basket, like an Easter egg basket, and you're collecting all these different people's energy, you know, throughout the day, and then you're carrying that with you then to have dinner with your family.
Absolutely. And it took me, I think, the first 5 years, I've been doing this for 12 years, I think it took me the first 5 years to learn how to really separate. I mean, I can, but because some weeks everybody's great and some weeks everybody's really not great. And you really have to learn the discipline of really supporting people and caring, but then being able to close it off and be with your family and not bring that home. You know, you worry about people, of course, but you've got to almost compartmentalize it, because otherwise it'll kill you.
And, you know, we're talking about this from a mentor and coach perspective, but I would say just the same, if someone's working corporate and they're having 6 or 7 Zoom meetings with colleagues a day, you know, that again, you're collecting, you may not be mentoring or coaching those people, and most of them might be even more senior to you in the organization, but you are collecting a lot of people's energy over the day. So I think being mindful, and also when we're in an office scenario, we're walking around or we're chatting to people or we're going to chat to our office best mate, who dispels a lot of that kind of, if we are collecting negative energy, they dispel that. And almost just the moving around and going from space to space in an office will get rid of that. Whereas, you know, if you think about it, I'm just thinking about this now, just kind of had a bit of an aha moment myself as I'm talking. If we have a difficult conversation with a team member in the meeting room, like you leave the meeting room and you come back to your desk. Whereas all of us right now working remotely, we're actually having those meetings in our desk, and then we've got to get off that Zoom call and jump into the next thing. So There's not much, it's a lot of stagnation, I think is what I'm seeing. Like, it's almost like, how do you dispel that and move it around? And I know something I do in our office, downstairs in our home office, is after every kind of shift type thing, if I go out for my lunch, it's like to open up all the windows in the office and just let some fresh energy in as well. Because we're sitting in the same space as a lot. Okay. How are you feeling right now? Give me a temperature check.
I feel really good, thank you, because I feel like I've got it. I'm not looking at anything and thinking it's more work. I feel like it's some very, very usable tools that I can put into place. The timing for me is excellent because next week I have 3 full days, but it's not a really unbearable week because, as I said, I know that there's more work coming, but that's still a couple of weeks away. So the timing's very good because I can put it into place in a sort of acceptable week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, love that. That's so good. And something else I wanted to say, Sarah, do you meditate?
I do. I do yoga. I know you and I have talked about this.
Yeah, you like yoga as well, don't you?
You mentioned me on last week's podcast. You said we both are believers in what you can solve on the yoga mat.
Yeah.
I am, if there's one thing that I have in my diary every week, that's my yoga sessions, which I do from home now. Do not allow anything to take
so
over.
Good. Well done, because it's really important. I'm just wondering, so I've talked about Inside Timer a lot through whatever, all the different things that I talk about. So I'm just even wondering, I've actually just recently started tapping into their sleep meditations. Like, there's literally a guided meditation for everything on there. Mm-hmm. So even if that becomes part of the Sarah battery time, or if you're listening, your own battery time, just to have a 5-minute meditation or something like that as well. That's just a little bit of you time. And Sarah, the last thing I wanted to touch on, it's a really basic one, but I'm a big believer in paying problems to go away when I can. And would you just get like one of the automatic vacuum cleaners and just stick it on every night when you guys go to bed to deal with the dog hair?
That's a good idea.
It's a really simple one. I mean, I've no idea how much they are. We've got Wade's one that he had at the office. Lexi calls it. This is totally random. It's from Wade's team. And apologies if there's any Pauline Hanson fans listening. But someone on Wade's team in the office put a sticker of, like a picture of Pauline Hanson on the robo vacuum cleaner, whatever it's called. And they, you know, they, so when Wade brought it home, because I was like, I want to try having one in her house. And they weren't in the office, of course. So he brought it home. But Lexi calls it Pauline. And it's just so funny. She's like, hurry up, Pauline. It's gold. And if we have people here, they're like, what the hell, why is she calling the vacuum cleaner Pauline? And then we have to explain the whole story. So anyway, okay, that's just a quick one, just pay that one to go away. If you just stick it on every night and then every morning you come down to pristine clean floors, just make that one go away if you can. Yeah,
that's a good one. I have started outsourcing some things in my business and getting some help, and you know, the load off your shoulders that things like that makes is they're small things, but they're big things actually.
Yeah. And they're massive things, Sarah, because, you know, if you're living in a house that, I mean, I know the rest of the family probably don't think it's messy, but if we feel it's like messy, it just gets in on you. And then it's a bloody, what am I saying? It's an invitation to procrastinate then, because, you know, I say, oh, I'll just make Lexi's bed quickly and then I'll start work. And then, you know, it snowballs from there, and all of a sudden you've lost 45 minutes and you lost all your beautiful morning momentum. So yeah, if there's things that we can pay to go away, I'm all for it. I think a robo vacuum cleaner, and every single morning you come down to clean floors and you just feel like everything's in order and you sail into your vortex and go create some great work for the day.
And then after that, you know, I'll just see if someone knows Jedi mind control of how to get my husband to clean up his side of the bedroom. But you know what?
Yeah.
He's a fabulous man, so it's okay.
He sounds amazing. He really does. Okay, so what are your biggest actions out of today? Give me a list.
Okay, so my biggest actions are to give myself a few minutes at lunchtime.
And
I'm actually starting to set up my bedroom a bit. I used it yesterday and I thought, this is a place I can get away to, because I literally cannot get away at the moment. My daughter that's in year 12, I love her, but she has almost taken over the entire ground floor of our house at the moment.
I'm so grateful for you saying that, because I know I feel that, and I know a lot of people listening will feel that as well.
Well, and she's in year 12. She's had the worst possible year 12, so I figure she's allowed to take over the whole ground floor.
But I think it's important to have your little space. I mean, for me, we've got a balcony. We live in a terrace in Sydney, and we've got a little balcony with two like beat up old cane sofas out there. But that's been my spot, because I just close the door and I physically feel like I'm out of the house. It's great.
And actually, just as a little sidebar, last night I actually thought, I'm going to buy myself a chair, even if I get it on eBay, and have a chair up here that I can sit in that's like my spot. So I may actually now do that. Give myself permission.
And I got a lovely chair. Now, sorry, I don't remember how much it was, but it's a brand called Brosa, B-R-O-S-A. It's, I think they're called Accent Chairs. An interior designer will probably set me straight. But yeah, it's a beautiful, like, you might have seen it in my Instagram post or something. It's a blue chair. But yeah, it feels like my chair. It's really lovely. Yep.
Well, and as it happens, I thought of that last night. So,
Sarah, I just want to pause there just to drive home that point of anchoring. That's an anchoring thing. Yeah. You know, when you sit in your chair, it's your space. It's a different Sarah that sits in that chair versus the Sarah that sits in the desk chair in your office versus the Sarah who sits in, I mean, I presume your family's like our family. Everyone's got to see their own spot at the table. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We laugh about it. No one's
And I can't sit in Lexi's chair. She loses her shit. Like, yeah, my chair. but she can sit in mine, which is bizarre. So anyway, you know what I mean? It's like that chair thing is actually such a great example of anchoring, because Sarah at her desk chair is different to Sarah at the kitchen table or the dining table, and Sarah in her own Sarah battery chair is different again. I just wanted to really underline that point because it just illustrates anchoring so perfectly. Okay, yeah. So chair, set up the bedroom.
Yes, so giving myself 10 minutes at lunchtime. I realise I haven't been doing that, so I'm going to do that. And then finding that hour and a half, starting with a walk, and then an hour for me at the end of my workday, which is also going to really motivate me to be focused with my admin and not get to the end of my Zoom meetings and then sort of flop around, look at Instagram for 10 minutes, 15 to 20, and then think, oh, yeah, okay, admin, I've got to do that, and actually say no. Focus, get it done, get out of the office, go for a walk, and then do some stuff that's actually interesting. Not that admin isn't, but it isn't, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Love. Well, it's not why we do what we do, is it? It's not to write up notes. We do what we do to actually work with the poaching. Yes. And that's why you do it. Okay, anything else on your action list?
Well, find a chair on eBay.
Nice. Love. That's a fun job.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Oh, the RoboVac too.
The RoboVac. Don't forget RoboVac.
That's a good one.
Amazing. Okay, my dear. Thank you so much for this chat. And I know I'm going to speak for everyone listening to also say thank you for just sharing so openly. And, you know, I know so much of what you said is going to be the challenges you're experiencing or have experienced are the ones that other people are going to be experiencing. And I think us having this chat will help so many people to make just again, and you know what I love about your action list as well? They're just tiny tweaks. It's not having to go and reinvent yourself and become a whole new person and get up at 5 a.m. like Lorraine. It's not that. It's works for you. So I think, yeah, you sharing like you shared will help hundreds and hundreds of people. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, as always.
Thank you.
So good. Thank you, Lorraine.
So that's it. I hope you enjoyed the chance to be a fly in the wall of one of my mentoring sessions. And as I said at the start, there are two more of those episodes coming up very soon as well. So thank you so much again for joining me this week. I will pop Sarah's LinkedIn link into the show notes so you can contact her on LinkedIn if you'd like to get in touch with her. And also quick reminder about my bonus time masterclass is two options that are happening on Tuesday, the 25th of August. Again, I'll pop the link in the show notes for those, and I would love to see you at one of those sessions. So until next week, I will say goodbye. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast, so please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.